Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
It's time now for the Patty Conklin Show, exclusively on HealthyLife.net Radio.
Hey, hey, everyone. Happy day. Thank you so much for joining us to the Patty Conklin Show. I am here with my co-host, Vanessa Hall, MD, and we have a treat because I am going to interview her. She gets to, like, have fun, interview me once in a while, but I like to interview her because her story is one that I hope other physicians will listen to and follow by example, and maybe reach out to kind of get more information from me or her in terms of how do you integrate, you know, just holistic medicine and traditional Western medicine. So, but what I want to know first, Vanessa, first, welcome.
Thank you.
As always. But what I want to know is how does a college basketball player go to college to become a doctor and a bass player? Like, we've got three segments. You know, I love the fact that you're an MD. Then I always make fun of Vanessa Hall, MD. But that's not really where it started. I mean, you were a basketball player.
I was.
Correct?
I mean, that helped me get into college. I was actually recruited to go to Harvard. You know, Ivy League schools don't have scholarships, so it's a long story. But needless to say, I was recruited, and I was like, you're out of your mind. There's no way I can get into that school. And, but I was like, I'll apply, you know, what the heck. And, lo and behold, I got in. And so, you know, I was there playing basketball and being a pre-med. And, you know, just.
Wow.
I mean, it was the first 6 months were a huge adjustment. I didn't think I belonged there, you know, and I didn't know anyone except the basketball player that I had stayed with when I interviewed, and you know, and then I kind of settled in, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I can do the work, you know, I'm passing my classes, and you know, I mean, I guess I belong here.
Basketball. Yeah, talk to me about basketball, because I don't think we've ever talked about what drew you into basketball.
Oh,
like when
okay.
did you start
well,
playing?
I started playing in junior high school, and this is just such a, you know, this is such a kid thing, but my sister, 3 years older than me, is this amazing athlete. I mean, like, she played three sports, she was a star on all of them, you know, I came up behind her, you know, so we never went to school at the same time, except in elementary school. But she was, you know, years ahead of me. So, but I would come behind her, and it would be, you know, the teachers are like, oh, you're a Treva's sister. Oh, are you a good athlete like her? Blah, blah, blah. And, what I recognized is that she wasn't that great of a basketball player. She was great volleyball player, great softball player. I was like, well, you know, I kind of like basketball anyway. I'm going to play basketball, and I'm going to get really good. So I went to camp, and I worked at it. I mean, I enjoyed it tremendously, but I worked at it, and I was going to be a better basketball player than she was. And I was also going to be a better student. You know, I mean, she got good grades, but I was going to get better grades. And so that kind of was the motivator. But I wound up going to camp at Queens College. They had one of the top teams in the 70s. And it was right, you know, where my elementary school, my junior high school were on the same big plot of land that had a high school and Queens College. So I was familiar with them, and I started going to their games. Then I went to the summer camp twice, and then I went as a junior counselor, and it was actually their assistant coach that got the assistant coach job at Harvard that recruited me. But I loved basketball. I mean, when I was in med school, even the first 2 years at least, played rec league all the time, played pickup as much as I could. Not so much during the last 2 years in residency, but then when I moved to Atlanta, I was playing rec league up until I was probably, I don't know, 35, and just loved it. Loved it.
Wow.
So, but I had to hang up my high tops. I tore my Achilles in 2013 playing basketball, and so those days are unfortunately over, but I'm living vicariously through the WNBA, the Women's Olympic team. This past Olympics was just amazing. And then the new unrivaled 3-on-3 full court league was so much fun. So I'm just, I've become a basketball junkie again.
So are you attending these? These games?
No, this is on TV.
In person?
No, just on TV. There's no WNBA team here. Although we're getting a team, a professional women's team, it's called the Upshot League, and they start I think next year maybe. And it's a feeder program for the WNBA, and we're going to have a team here. So that's exciting.
That's so cool. So cool. So cool. So what made you go to med school? I mean, did you always want to be a doctor?
I wanted to be a veterinarian. All my childhood, I wanted to be a veterinarian. And when I got to college, I wound up having a very, very bad ankle sprain, and I spent a lot of time in our sports medicine area, and I thought, wow, this is cool, you know, doctors here and stuff. I'm like, I want to be an orthopedic surgeon and do sports medicine.
Uh-huh.
And then, so that's when I started focusing on going to medical school. And then, ironically, I get to medical school, I do my orthopedic rotation, and I absolutely hated it. Hated it, can't tell you.
Really?
Hated surgery so much. To me, it's awful.
What was it?
But I liked.
What was it? Like, what was it that made it awful?
It's tedious to me. You know, you really have to be meticulous, and you have to, you know, when you cut open a part of someone's body, you know, you've got to go through each layer one by one. You have to meticulously open up the area to see what you're doing, and you know, scrubbing in and scrubbing out, and wearing a mask and standing for hours. It's just like, oh God, get me out of here. I liked talking to my patients. I liked getting to know who they were and what made them tick. I liked the sort of investigative part of being doing general medicine things, you know, getting the history, try to figure out what's going on. That intrigued me, and primary care was the best avenue for that. And so I went that route. I went to a residency in internal medicine. And in residency, you have your own clinic patients for your full 3 years there, as well as the work you did in the hospital. And I really enjoyed it. I actually just really enjoyed it. And then, as you know, I opened my own practice in Lawrenceville, Georgia, which is just north of Atlanta. And I had a solo primary care practice. The hospital helped me get established. And everything was going really well. I mean, I was getting great feedback. I had a great reputation. My patients loved me. The ones that hated me, I guess, just moved on. But, you know, it was, I enjoyed it. And the first few years were great. Growing, you know, getting busier. And unfortunately, after a few years in practice is when managed care was created. And discount, they started discounting your fees, basically paying you less. They started doing this copay thing, so they capitation, where they say, okay, we've got 300 patients on our insurance that we're going to assign to you. We're going to pay you $10 a month, every month, to take care of them, all their needs, and they're going to pay their $5 copay. And,
oh, wow.
And, oh, by the way, you know, if you want a drug that's not on our list of drugs, you're going to have to fill out this paperwork and tell us why, and you have to get fill out a referral form for them to go see the dermatologist or the whoever, and you have to fill out a form to get an MRI on your patient. And then, you know, when we reject it, then you're going to have to call us to tell us why you need to have whatever it is you have. It's like, well, isn't that what I wrote down? But so essentially what happened is, to make ends meet, pay your staff, pay all the bills, you know, the cost of everything went up every year. You had to see more patients. You know, I loved seeing about 15 to 20 people a day. It was perfect. I could spend a lot of time with them. I had a lot of Medicare patients. Some folks were, you know, 80 years old, and they had complex medical histories, and you can't rush through it. But, you know, it got to the point where, you know, I went from 15-minute patient slots to 10-minute patient slots because I needed to see more people each day. And then eventually I'm seeing, you know, 30, 35, 40 people a day. And was exhausted and burnout and just hated it. I literally hated it. I would have panic attacks on Monday mornings driving into the office. I didn't sleep well on Sunday nights. And I just got burned out to crackly crisp. And, cause I knew, and from all of my training, that was not how you take good care of people. You sit down, you look a person in the eye, you talk to them. You don't talk at your laptop or at your piece of paper you're writing on. And I got out just before electronic medical records were required, so I'm dating myself.
Wow.
But, and so I got out. I was fortunate. I sold my practice to another doctor and was working for him 3 days a week in the transition. And I would have probably stayed with him 3 days a week. It was a perfect amount of time. And I didn't have any of the administrative problems, but he understaffed, and so people weren't getting their results for weeks at a time, even abnormal results. So I left that practice and just kind of floundered for a little bit. And then that's when I started my house call practice. And that was great fun. And, you
that
know,
was
I charged
mobile medicine.
Like, mobile medicine. And I,
mobile
you know, it
medicine.
Was based on a rate like an attorney. And people could control how much time. I mean, I had never had a patient in my office say, Dr. Hall, we're at 25 minutes. We got 5 minutes and then we need to stop. You know, I mean, that always cracked me up, but, you know, they were in control of the time. And, and that was a lot of fun. And, I had a bunch of professional people. I'd go do flu shots at their office. I'd go to their office and do their physical. I had a portable table. I had a portable EKG that went through my laptop. I could draw blood. I mean, and then 2008, 2009 hit with a financial crash, and disposable income went away, and people said, I'm sorry, we love you, but we've got to go back to our $10 copay.
Right.
We can't afford to pay out of pocket. So that happened, and I was covering for doctors on vacation. I was subbing at a occupational medicine clinic. I did some locums work, and I spent 3 days a week in Columbus, Georgia. Did all sorts of things, and finally I was just exhausted running around, and that's when I stumbled into a life insurance medicine position
mm-hmm.
at Lincoln Financial, and that's what got me to Greensboro.
Wow.
And wow. I've been in life insurance medicine ever since. That was in 2010, end of 2010. And it is interesting work, and most physicians aren't aware of life insurance medicine, but we work with the underwriters to help the underwriter understand the person who's applying for insurance, their medical information. If it's complicated or there are tests they don't understand or whatever, they send those cases to the doctors and we review them and help them make the appropriate offer. Or not, you know, sometimes.
Or not. Do you find that to be complicated at times? I mean, just looking at an individual's medical record or whatever and making kind of the call. I'm not quite sure how that works.
Some of the people applying for life insurance have very complicated medical issues, and so it takes you a while to kind of tease things out. We use manuals that are created by the reinsurance company, so some of the risk is shared with the reinsurer, and they go through all the medical issues and give you guidelines for how you rate the particular medical condition. And so it's just interesting. You know, I've learned about so many things that I never dug into, like an echocardiogram. Like, I can read, you know, what those little numbers and squigglies mean, not looking at the actual ultrasound, but at the report and understanding
right.
what that data is, which is not something you do as a primary care doctor. You send people to the cardiologist, and the cardiologist handles it. And so,
right.
you know, I always tell people, life insurance medical directors are probably the best medical trivial pursuit players ever, because we read on all sorts of topics, you know, and if it's a topic that's not covered in the manual, we have to go research it and figure out whether we can offer on it. And so, you know, my medical knowledge has expanded. But through all this time, I've had this interest in complementary medicine, which started like a year into my practice. I went to a conference at Harvard, and they exposed me to chiropractic and acupuncture and herbal medicine and Chinese medicine, and we're talking about these things being safe and effective, and I was just blown away, because it's not anything that was ever mentioned in my training.
Right.
And from there, I just started going to classes. You know, I'd take a course here, a CME course there, and just accumulated knowledge. I went to the seven-day intensive program at the Institute of Functional Medicine before they became a board certification, and learned so much there. So,
what a journey!
What
a journey! Do you find as a medical director for life insurance? I mean, because a lot of times, you know, if we're taking supplements or holistic approaches in our care, it all gets put in our medical record. Does that come mm-hmm. into play at all in life insurance?
Not really. I mean, if you're taking vitamins, you know, we're not assessing that. We're looking at the medical condition that you have and how well it is treated or has been treated. You know, if a person had cancer, you know, how long ago was it? What stage was it? How was it treated? We look at those things. But as far as,
I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you're looking at a file and a person has cancer and they've declined traditional Western medicine, but they're doing blah, 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 does that make a difference?
Yeah, they're declined. That's not the standard of care. And there's no data that, you know, life insurance, the manuals are looking at the published data that's out there about the different conditions. And unfortunately, we've talked about this before, there isn't published data about the utility of, say, a particular supplement on cancer. They might be anecdotal, you know, a couple patients here or there, but there aren't going to be any big studies. That's one of the challenges that complementary medicine has, where a lot of it is by experience. But as a industry, we can't go by experience. So, you know, we're looking at the big picture data from the established sources. So, yeah, if you have cancer and you are only treating it with complementary medicine, I would be surprised if any life insurance company would insure that person, because there's no data to back it up. Because, you know, the life insurance industry is looking at big population data.
Well, let's continue talking about this when we come back, because I'm learning things even after 25 years of friendship. I'm learning new things. So, folks, we'll be back on the flip side, and we'll continue this conversation.
Want to get that man or woman out of your mind? How about being in the right state of mind for getting that job promotion or staying positive to help boost your immune system? Want to break those old habits? Then it's time for an emotional cellular cleansing with Patty Conklin. You'll get a private 3-hour session in person by phone or by Zoom with 3 months of follow-up appointments, plus email support. But you'll have to do the work, and homework materials are included. Find out more or to book your appointment, visit pattyconklin.com. That's pattyconklin.com.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit healthylife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
If you're wondering if Patty can help you heal, why not book a free 15-minute consultation either by phone or by Zoom? It's a great way to see which of Patty's services is right for you. You'll discuss her services in detail and how they can apply to your specific situation. It's really a great place to start, and you can sign up for your free consultation by phone or Zoom on Patty's website, pattyconklin.com. That's pattyconklin.com. Get the help you need today. Sign up for your free consultation at pattyconklin.com.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to healthylife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
Okay, I get it. You're a doubting Thomas, and you don't want to pay for something unless you can know what it's all about. Well, now you can find out just what Patty Conklin's energy healing is all about. Go to pattyconklin.com to sign up for her free group energy adjustment, held every Wednesday from 12 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Experience for yourself the transformative energy designed to bring calm and healing to your life. Space is limited, so sign up now. Go to pattyconklin.com, click on services, and you're there.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hey everyone, it's Patty and Vanessa back making sense. And today we are making sense of her. We're making sense of Vanessa, of what has life been like. And I kind of knew about the basketball very, very little. Did not know your sister was an athlete. And it was actually sibling rivalry. Sounds like that got you motivated in basketball
fueled
a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think she was competing with me, by the way.
No, being the older sister. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think you, as the younger sister, you were probably put in that position. So you've been a medical director for life insurance now for quite a while. And
yeah, just over 14 years.
Wow. Now, to me, it seems like it's been like 5 years, but I guess you've been gone longer than that over in North Carolina. Yeah.
Yep.
So what is, like, do you ever have situations, maybe this is a silly question, but do you ever have situations where you pull up somebody's file and they have a disease that you've never heard of?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I've learned about some obscure disorders, for sure. And you basically go to the literature and read up on it and try to find mortality statistics. And, there's other doctors in the companies that I've worked in. And so, you know, we talk to each other, has anybody seen this? And then we hash it out and we figure out what to do with it. So, yeah, that definitely happens.
Wow. Different animal. So when you were going through med school, you were at Harvard. Were you not at North Carolina?
No, Harvard undergrad.
Okay.
I went to
UNC
Chapel Hill for medical school.
For medical school. And so what was that experience like?
Well, first of all, it was the best kept secret because my tuition at the time was $4,500 a year as an out-of-state student, which was $1,000 less than an in-state student. No kidding. My fourth year, my last year, it went up to $7,800 or something like that. But yeah, it was $1,000 for in-state student to go to medical school per year back then. So I'm dating myself for sure. I'm totally serious.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's a great institution. And I feel like I was well trained. And the first 2 years, most people don't know this, but the first 2 years of medical school was basically classroom work, very intensive classroom work. You're, you know, doing physiology, biochemistry, anatomy and physiology are huge. And you're learning about pharmacology and all these things. And then your third and fourth year, you are in the hospital most of the time. And you'll do a rotation in a clinic or do a dermatology rotation at someone's office, something like that. But the majority of time, you're in the hospital. At that time, we were on call every third night.
Wow.
And as medical students, we were the ones that had to get up in the middle of the night and draw the blood and wheel the people to the X-ray department and such. So, yeah.
Right.
It was a wild time. But I had some great teachers, some great, great teachers, and who really cared about their patients and, you know, really taught us how to engage a person and help make them comfortable so that they will tell you what's going on. And throughout my career, teachers would say, if you listen to your patient, they'll tell you what's wrong, which is, you know, one of the reasons why what's going on today with primary care and most medical practices is the practitioners are very focused on their electronic medical record system. People tell me that the doctor never looked at them in the face. I've had people call me up and say, you know, that doctor never even listened to my lungs. So, people we know have experienced that. We're going in for knee problem. They take an X-ray, and the orthopedic doctor just looks at the X-ray, never touches their knee.
Right.
This is real. And, and so it's crazy out there. But, I think that's part of why I got so burned out, because I was trying to practice the way I had been taught to care for people. which requires you to sit down and look them in the eye and talk to them and engage them and create some trust, and also try to engage them to own their health and change their behavior and follow through on their meds and, you know, and having
a
good
one.
Relationship makes a huge difference. And the way Vantage Care has been to make you, to pay your bills, you've got to see volumes of patients. People aren't widgets. And so, and they know. It's not like they don't know. The research is all over the place that talks about, you know, how to get the best results. You know, people are more likely to quit smoking if their doctor talks to them about it. I mean, these are just facts.
Right.
Yet the payment structure is just so poor. And I know many other primary care doctors that just got out. And if they didn't get out, they did a concierge practice that, you know, you pay $2,000 a year to be in the practice, and then they see you and they bill your insurance on top of the $2,000 that you pay. And I get it because I had $5,000 people on my roster. And, you know, if you're with one of these concierge places, you might have 600 patients total.
Yeah.
I had 5,000.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
I mean, I think one of the things I've always appreciated about you as a physician and me growing up in a small town, we had Dr. Mary. And Dr. Mary graduated as one of the first females out of Cornell Medical School. And way back in the day. And so, you know, back in the early days, I mean, there'd be a snowstorm and somebody would come pick her up on a snowmobile, and she always had her wool suit and her bag. She would get on the snowmobile and she'd go deliver a baby, or she'd go do this or do that.
Right.
And I just adored her because she just kept things real. And even when she was 100 years old, she was still volunteering at baby clinics.
Wow.
You know, 100 years old.
Yeah, you don't hear about that much anymore.
No, I mean, she really just, and you've always reminded me of her. Because you just, you know, pay attention. So when we come back, let's talk about how personal life even develops. How do you keep friends, relationships, family, the whole business? With this kind of schedule. So, folks, we'll be right back. Thank you for joining us.
The pulse of the blood in your veins means you're alive, but a high or low pulse could mean you're not in balance, which could cause problems. But now, Patty Conklin has found three ways that can constantly make sure your pulse is kept in balance so you can move easier through life. Subscribe to Patty's Healing Pulse today. It has a plethora of things to do, discounts, book club, and so much more. Visit PattyConklin.com to find out more about Patty's Healing Pulse subscriptions. That's PattyConklin.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
You may not be in the same room or even the same country, but Patty Conklin's remote energy work can help you heal whether you have an illness, emotional wounds, or are in spiritual turmoil. And she can do it remotely. You can choose your session time too, starting from 30 minutes, 3 hours, or even 6-hour sessions. Healing energy. Healing you no matter where you are. Visit PattyConklin.com, scroll down to Remote Healing, and book your appointment now. That's Remote Healing at PattyConklin.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you're on PattyConklin.com, you might want to visit her store. There you can inexpensively buy powerful visualizations on a plethora of subjects, all to help you heal. Help rebuild your immune system, work with color or tonal energy, help remove fear and depression, and so much more. Plus, you can get Patty's best-selling book at her store, To Be Your Best Too. God Within is a great book to teach you how to use the lost knowledge of the universe to impact your physical life today. Visit our store at PattyConklin.com. You'll be glad you did. PattyConklin.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Hey, everyone. It's Patty interviewing Vanessa about her life as a basketball player, as an MD. We haven't even gotten to the base plan yet, but we'll get there. We'll get there. But inquiring minds want to know. Relationships, yeah. How do you, you know, when you're in residency and med school, how do you keep them?
I think a couple of things. One, I got together with my spouse in my second year of medical school, when I had a regular life. I went to school during the day, and then my evenings were free. I mean, I had to study a lot, but still. And so, you know, we sort of built our foundation before I went to residency. Residency is tough, and I think relationships, if they can survive a residency, are amazing, because you're essentially not there. I mean, and when you are there, you're exhausted, so you're kind of zombie.
Yeah.
And so what was harder was that she ran my office, so we had the medical practice together, and it was became more and more stressful. And then finally together we said, this has to go. And I think I know a bunch of my friends were worried about me because I was just so disappointed and so angry about how things shook out. And and I know I remember when I was a third year and started going into the hospital and being on call. I mean, I had friends that would call me up and say, hey, can you do something? I'm, no, I'm on call that night. And I'm like, can you do something this other night? Because I have no wiggle room. And it's like, no, you know. And so there were a few people like that that I hung out a lot with before my third year. And then when I had my third year, because I wasn't readily available, you know, it just fell away. Other people, however, understood that, you know, I have this obligation and help work around my schedule. So, you know, just the way it shakes out. But I think that you, just like any relationship, you know, you're going to have to put the time and energy into it, and the other person has to understand that sometimes your time is not your own. And so if you're wanting someone that's going to be there, you know, and be able to run and go and do things, don't date anybody in medical school. Okay? Don't date a resident.
I mean,
this is the reality of it.
It's the reality, but, you know, you've always, from my perspective, in the decades we've known each other, you've always had strong boundaries. Has it always been that way?
Yeah, that's just my personality. I've never had a problem saying no.
I hear that.
For good or for bad, you know, I can say no.
You know, one of the things that cracks me up is you and I are very similar. You know, early to bed, you know, early to rise, get our coffee. You know, we've always had that same sync. But, you know, we've had times in the last couple of decades where, you know, you've had family members pass away. We had one of our dear friends pass away suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember both of us on the phone just sobbing. You know, just sobbing, and yet having to get back up the next day and do our work.
Go to work. Like, do what you had to do.
Go to work. Do what you had to do.
Yeah. People depended on us.
Yep. Even when we're devastated, you know, just,
there's been times it's been rough, but you've always been able to power through. I don't think I power through as much as you. I think every once in a while I'm just like, nope, I'm done. Sorry, gotta reschedule. Just, you know,
yeah.
Take my breathing room.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you know, you go through your medical training, you have to compartmentalize things so that you can function. And you know, in residency, medical school, you know, you did get attached to patients, and you know, and you would sit in the ICU and cry with the nurses, you know. You can't lose that human side. But you do have to learn how to
lose that.
But you have to learn how to pull yourself together, clear your thinking so that you can take care of business. Because it's important.
Yeah.
You know, someone's life is in your hands.
Right.
So, you know.
You have been able to compartmentalize. I mean, I've never known someone who can fall asleep as fast as you can. It's like, nope, out. I remember asking you years ago how you could do that. And you're like, residency.
you practice.
Go through medical school and residency.
Find a corner. Yeah, find some place you can lie down. It doesn't matter if the lights are on and people are talking. You needed to sleep, you fell asleep. I definitely appreciated that I was able to do that. So.
Wow. I wish. So let's take it to the next segment of your life, which is music. Music.
Ah.
Bass player. I mean,
I started playing in when we lived in the same neighborhood. So that was back in, it was actually December 1999, December 31st. They were having a millennial sale, and I bought a guitar, and I bought a bass and a little amp. And Debbie was going to play the bass, and I was going to play the guitar. And then I just fell in love with the bass and just took it over and started teaching myself. And then I went to camp. And I went to camp with Jack Cassidy of Hot Tuna and Jefferson Airplane. And he said, you need to go play with other people. And that's when I met Terry and Larry, and I was in that band with them.
Yep.
And all original music. Now I have to say I did play the cello in junior high school and high school. So I learned piano as a child. So I had some music knowledge. And it's not a far stretch to go from cello to bass. And then I just fell in love with it.
Oh, wait. Talk to me about that. How can that not be a wide stretch?
Because you just take, if you take a cello and turn it on its side, you know, it's the hand positions and such are the same.
Interesting.
So,
never thought about it that way, but okay.
So, and then I've been playing in several bands since I've lived here. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm in my 5th band right now. I go to Blues Jam at Richie's every Wednesday, just about, which is fantastic, learning how to just listen and play with other people without really knowing the song. Blues is good that way because if you figure out the pattern quickly, you can play along. Great. Met some wonderful people. I will say this. Going to Richie's Blues Jam, you have old people, young people, black people, white people, and whatever shade in between. And it's just music just bridges whatever difference. I mean, one of my best buddies at Blues Jam is a 78-year-old biker dude that wears the black leather vest. With their colors on it, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
So
tell me about that,
you know,
when we get back, because I want to hear more about him and Blues Night. So, folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to Patty and Vanessa.
Patty Conklin is busy, but she's never too busy for you, and there are lots of ways to get a healing session with her. You can even get one via Zoom or by phone. With 29 years in the business of energy healing, Patty has a unique and remarkable ability to connect with your energy to help you heal on a mind-body-spirit level. From angst to pain, you can get help from Patty. Book a half-hour healing session and embark on your own personal healing journey. Visit PattyConklin.com and click on Services. That's PattyConklin.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Want to get that man or woman out of your mind? How about being in the right state of mind for getting that job promotion or staying positive to help boost your immune system? Want to break those old habits? Then it's time for an emotional cellular cleansing with Patty Conklin. You'll get a private 3-hour session in person by phone or by Zoom with 3 months of follow-up appointments, plus email support. But you'll have to do the work and homework materials are included. Find out more or to book your appointment, visit PattyConklin.com. That's PattyConklin.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
If you're wondering if Patty can help you heal, why not book a free 15-minute consultation either by phone or by Zoom? It's a great way to see which of Patty's services is right for you. You'll discuss her services in detail and how they can apply to your specific situation. It's really a great place to start, and you can sign up for your free consultation by phone or Zoom on Patty's website, PattyConklin.com. That's PattyConklin.com. Get the help you need today. Sign up for your free consultation at PattyConklin.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we want to give a shout out to HealthyLife.networks and .net, but Healthy Life Networks for letting us be on this show and having our time to explore different guests and to be able to let you know more about us. So we were kind of trailing off last segment with Farnesa's musical career, and I got to tell you, you know, I have never been one to go to live music or anything like that, but when she used to live in the neighborhood and she and Larry and Terry and Cliff and whoever else grabbed something, it was such a joy to listen to you guys. I mean, such a joy.
Yeah, it was
and,
fun because we loved it.
Yep, listening to Terry sing, you know, we lost her way too soon. But boy, she just had an amazing voice, and y'all just played so well together. So you're playing in North Carolina now, and mm-hmm. and so you were talking about your Wednesday night blues
blues jam. Yeah. So my biker buddy, you know, we played together because the way it works is. You show up, you sign in and tell what instrument you play, and then the person who manages it puts together a group of people, and whoever's singing says, I want to sing XYZ song, and you're like, I don't know that song. Well, it's a blues shuffle in A. Then we're like, okay, and then we just go for it. And most of the time it works. Sometimes it's a little clunky or something, but, you know, you really, you just, people are so accepting, even when you mess up. And so it's a place where you just don't have to have your defenses up when you're playing because people, you know, are just so nice and kind, even when you know it wasn't that great. And and some of these people are so talented. And so my biker friend, you know, I got invited to his birthday party. And basically went to a biker bar for this birthday party and played, you know?
Wow.
And, you know, and I'm talking about, I'm like real biker bar. And, you know, and people were just so nice to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, and my point, you know, before the break was just that music really pulls people together. And I see it. I see it every Wednesday when I go to the blues jam. People that would probably never be in the same room are jamming. And you're, when you're playing music, you know, you're listening to the other person because you've got to fit in where the gap is and make it cohesive and stay together. And so it's this cooperative thing that you do without talking. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And, you know, really just shows that we're just more the same than we are different. And so it's fabulous. I mean, and my band does have a website. It's tabusue.com. That's TABOOSUE.com. Don't ask me how we came up with the name. We spent quite some time bouncing things off and laughing hysterically, but landed on that. But it's great fun.
Is this an all-female band?
Yes, it is.
The band you're in on now? Yeah.
Yep. One, the drummer's an internist. The lead guitar is a classical guitar professor. And the keyboard lead singer plays guitar as well, singer-songwriter, does write songs, has albums out, but also does some leads groups and I guess you'd call it circle sound kind of a deal.
Yeah.
I'm going to have her on the show at some point and explain that. It's really cool, team building stuff.
That sounds
cool. So music is fabulous.
Yeah. So in your, quote, spare time, when you're not with relationships, with your spouse, with your friends, with your music and your job, then you do consulting.
I do. I have a handful of patients here that I'm their primary care doctor. I used to have patients in Atlanta, and I would go back down twice a year and see them, but that got to be too much. But I do wellness consulting. You know, a lot of people want to have food sensitivity testing. They've learned about that, and they're, you know, they have symptoms. Like a friend of mine 2 days ago told me that she's having all these symptoms, and she was wondering about where could she get food sensitivity testing. I was like, raised my hand. I'm like, well, I can do that. You know, people want to see what their nutritional status is. People have a condition and they want to try a more natural approach. Those are the kind of things that that I do. I'm not looking for primary care patients.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
What's your website?
Oh. My website is mdwellnesssolutions.com. So it's mdwellnesssoulutions. mdwellnesssolutions. And that's because when I'm working with people, I try to find out what they believe. You know, if a person believes that every disease that their family has had, they're going to get. It's going to create it. You know, it's going to, you know, and so I try to get to understand what they're thinking and believing, and oftentimes you have to change the belief. So this belief is not serving you. So we need to change your belief. And so we work on that level. And you know, I'm in classes to become a shaman. And a lot of that is dealing with these types of issues and what you're thinking all the time and how your thoughts and feelings are actually a chemical environment in your body making you feel that way. And if you're having negative thoughts all the time, you're bathing your body in stress hormones, which affects your physiology down to the DNA expression level. And so the shaman work helps address those things. It's energy work coming at it from another way. And this is modern shamanism, through Jaguar Path, jaguarpath.com, and it's a 9-month program, one weekend every month, and it is fantastic. And we practice on each other,
wow.
So I get to experience it as well. But I'm bringing all of those things to the tools to the table to help people. And what I'm finding is that the mental, emotional part, the thinking, belief part, really has to be always assessed because
right.
it has such a significant impact on results, on whether a
right.
person's able to heal. Because if they're blocked, as you know, because you go about it in a different way, but
right.
when that energy is stagnating, you know, it is wreaking havoc on that person's health and wellness, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And so it really makes no sense to just address, you know, the blood test and not
right.
what's going
right.
on in their heart, you know, and what emotions have been repressed and the body's holding on to.
So
that's
true.
The beauty of what you do and what shamanism does, because it helps move this energy without a person having to talk about it.
Right.
Not
right.
that people should
Which
get
is
therapy,
so critical.
Is it,
right.
but think that it's very useful. But you have to move that energy. You have to get that flow, that chi moving.
Yeah.
And so it's really a lot of fun. And you know, I do it on the side, and it's not like I'm trying to, like, create a new job, but I do it because I love it, and
yeah.
do it because I continue to learn new things, and so I have more things to bring to the table, and it's fun. It's really fun to
right.
Figure out a way that a person can help themselves get better, because you and I know, you know, I'm the coach on the sideline calling out the plays, but, and we talk about this all the time, personal responsibility. Each
yep.
of us is responsible for our own health and wellness, and we have to put the time in and the work and the effort. And no matter what practitioner you go to, you know, they can't do it for you.
That's right.
It just doesn't
That's
work
right.
that way.
They can't. It's
so...
Thank you so much for sharing
well, thank you.
Your story today and just, you know, learning new things about you all the time. And one of the things I want to end with is just I love your enthusiasm. I mean, yeah, you've got a well-paying job, and you could just be doing that and just having your music. But you continue to expand and grow and go deeper. And I just so appreciate you and the enthusiasm you bring to the table to all of us to really
you.
Listen and expand. So, folks, I know that you've enjoyed today. We're back next week. We're back most weeks. Vanessa,
actually, I'm back
wonderful
next
guest
week.
Coming up.
You have a guest next week. This is going to be interesting because
yep.
I don't know anything about what she's doing. So it'll be
okay. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. Thank you so much, folks, and we'll catch you later on the Patty Conklin Show.
You've been listening to the Patty Conklin Show on HealthyLife.net Radio. To listen to it again or share it with a friend, visit HealthyLife.net podcast on demand link on our homepage and click on Patty Conklin.